want to welcome you to our service. We're starting a lot later than we expected, something like 45 minutes or so later. There's some technical problems that we can't explain, but we seem to be online again. We're going to cut the service and keep it shorter today, but we're going to skip through this hymn now that you may have seen earlier. It was The Call of God. The psalm for today is the Psalm 43, and I'll read the psalm because there's just a few verses in it. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. As we come to pray today, we do want to remember our sister Ines Atkinson, and we give to her sincere sympathy on the death of her mother. So we want to remember that as we come to pray just now. We might also remember one of the office bearers in the Macclesfield Church, our brother Raymond Semple. Raymond has been battling for quite some time now with COVID-19. He's been in hospital. He's been moved into the intensive care unit, and this morning has had to be put on a ventilator. So we want to remember this dear man before the throne of grace in prayer. And over in Spain, the Reverend Lyle Boyd, his situation has flared up again, and he has ended up in hospital. So with this in mind, let us pray. Lord, we seek thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that we can come to God. We can come out of the need of the circumstances that we find ourselves in just now. And we can meet with the Lord, whether we start the meeting on time or because of technical problems, the service going out later. Thou art the God where no time exists. You live in the great eternity. We thank thee that we have access to thy presence. In all situations, at all times, we come through the mediation of Christ. We plead his merit and his precious blood. And we do seek thee now for your blessing upon our time in the word of God that will come to shortly. We remember those that mourn today, and thinking very particularly of our sister Ines in this loss. We thank thee for the care that she gave to her mother these many, many months and years, in fact. And we pray in this sad time that the Lord will draw graciously near to his servant and her family circle and bless them in their grief. Remember our brother Raymond today in hospital. Lord, you know the severity of his illness and what has happened even this morning. I want to commit him into the hands of the Lord where he is just now, that thou will bless him and strengthen him and guide the medical profession that will seek to administer whatever treatment is necessary. But please the Lord, raise him to health and strength again. We think of our brother Lyle Boyd as well, over in Spain, with this problem flaring up again. May it settle. May he be able to get the operation that is needful to alleviate distress and pain that he's in. And may he know your healing touch. Thank you for the work of God. Thank thee, Lord, that you're building your church through the nations. Bless thee for the opportunity that we've had today already to preach to that tribal people in Pakistan. Bless your word to those who heard the message. Bring them to Christ. Remember the orphan work in India. Thank thee, Lord, for the proceeds of the new book going to that particular ministry. We pray your blessing upon these children. We have prayed before that they will be helped in this physical way and fed, but Lord, we pray that they will be fed spiritually and come to know the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent down from heaven to bring life and salvation, forgiveness and mercy, peace and pardon to those who repent and seek him in faith. We pray that there will be many from the land of India that will meet us at God's right hand, even through the simple efforts that are made. Lord, meet with us now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm going to keep the announcements until tonight, so I'm running through them very, very quickly on the screen. We have to do this in order to get to the next hymn. And we're going to get our sisters to play, and then we will be able to we'll be able to sing it in our minds and hearts. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. It's a lovely hymn of invitation. If you hear the Savior calling, we want that ready response to be in your heart, that you will say to the Lord, wherever he leads me, I'm prepared to go. Whatever he wants me to do, I'm prepared to do. I'll go with him all the way. Think of this hymn. I think of the Easter Convention and Martyrs many years ago, and it was one of the favorites as we thought of God's work and the call of God in our lives. May you hear that call today. We'll wait upon our sisters to play. Verse 2 now, and then we'll go to verse 3, and then verse 4 and the chorus. To come immediately to our Bible reading, coming to our study in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and just reading verses 16 to 20. I want to thank the technical team for their perseverance. It's an awful thing if you're in that position to lose your technology. That would be like a preacher losing his notes, and he gets into the pulpit and, oh, there's no notes there. What am I going to say today? And he may not remember everything that he would like to say. We'll keep the message a little bit shorter this morning. Reminds me of the preacher that was sent a little note from his wife, and it was just initials, K-I-S-S. Well, you know what that means, don't you? And he thanked her very much at the end for the encouragement and for the sweetness of the message. But she said, no, keep it short, stupid. So I'm going to feel a wee bit like that today. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 16. Now as he, that's Christ, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. The message today is the call of God to service. And I trust, despite all the technical hitches and the problems that we've had today, that there will be some listening to this service just now that God will really speak to, and maybe those who will get the opportunity later on today or through the week to listen in to sermon audio or Facebook, catch up with the service, and that God will speak to you about his call in your life. Now, I think that the message is going to take a couple of weeks anyhow, so that possibly suits what we're going to do today. We'll do part one just now. But before we come to the message, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that the call of God in a person's life is something that is very special. We thank thee that he still is calling today. He's still raising up young people and older people too. Some of them go to Bible college to prepare for the ministry, for the mission field. We thank thee for those who are presently studying in the Whitfield College of the Bible and in other faithful Bible colleges too. And we pray that you will remember those that listen now to your word. As we think of the call of God to Christian service, as we see it exemplified here in the lives of these men, we pray that you will speak 2,000 years ago just as clearly, just as powerfully as you spoke to these fishermen that were engaged in their daily business. Speak to our hearts now and be pleased to call us all to do something for the Lord. It may involve something more full-time for some. May it be so for your glory. We think of every vacant pulpit in our land. We think of the massive need on the mission field. We think of those places where men are needed for the proclamation of the word. We're not unmindful today of Emmanuel Christian School and Church there in Uganda, and the great appeal that is being made for a man to be found that will be a preacher of the word in that area. Lord, may someone be found this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord in his sovereign purposes called 12 men to be his disciples, his close companions through his short earthly ministry. Men who came from different backgrounds, walks of life, personalities, men with different strengths and weaknesses. These few verses that we've read give us an account of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, called by Jesus Christ to be his followers. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus met this group of men, but it is the official, personal call to leave their all and follow him. It's that special call to Christian service that comes with conviction and clarity, that call that is still heard today, and that call that we love to sing about, and we would have been singing about it earlier, above thine own ambitions here. Another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee, O leave thy all and follow me. God has a way in which the gospel of Christ will be presented and spread across the world. He raises up men to be his disciples, instruments in the divine hand to build his church through the preaching of the gospel. By and large, he chooses weak and foolish things of the world to fulfill his purposes on earth. Men, as we see it here, not from the great Sanhedrin, not from the schools of the rabbis, but chosen from among the boats and the nets of the seashore, from humble, hard-working backgrounds like the fishing industry. that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Christ put his hand upon these men, and he called them that day to be his disciples as the Lord walked on the sands of the shore. Simon Peter and Andrew are first to be called. Simon, who had been won to Christ through the simple testimony of his brother Andrew. And we read about that in John chapter 1, this wonderful conversion that takes place. A family member reaches another family member with the gospel of Christ. Simon, who would eventually become great in the hands of God and be mightily used. And we'll be thinking about the day of Pentecost and how the Lord came down and anointed this man, and he saw thousands converted to Christ. And then we have Andrew, who seemed to labor quietly in the background. He received no great accolades for his accomplishments. He lived in the shadow of his brother, for he was always termed Simon Peter's brother. Some people are known by the fame of a relative, and it seems to be the case with Andrew. And then we have the other two brothers, James and John, who were called by the Savior. Three of these men, Peter, James, and John, got to see and experience things that none of the others did. For example, the transfiguration of Christ. When the Lord took these three up into the mountain, there before them, he was transfigured, he was changed, they saw him in the glory, that dazzling splendor of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. Everyone else was excluded except the mother and father and these three men. They were brought into the place where Jesus spoke the word of power, and the young girl of 12 was raised to life again. They got to see that mighty miracle. And we think also of the agony of Christ in the garden. When the vast majority of the disciples were left at the gate, Peter, James, and John are brought to the place and told to sit and wait with Christ in prayer while the Lord went forward, a stone's cast, and was in that great agony of prayer where he sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground. These men, though mightily used by God, privileged above most, called into the inner circle of fellowship and blessing, were just ordinary, weak, faltering sons of Adam like you and me. We know Peter's weakness of self-confidence, which eventually led to his denial of Christ. When he says, "I know not the man," and three times over he denied the Lord, even with oaths and cursings. James and John, we read about in Mark chapter 10, possessed a selfish and a self-exalted attitude when they expressed their desire to Christ. "When we get to glory, we want to sit beside you. We want to be the chosen ones." You think about that. Out of the millions of people that the Lord Jesus would call to himself, these two men says, "We want to sit one on your right hand and the other on the left when we get to heaven." And that really was just something very selfish and self-exalted on their part. But God used them. God called them. God sent them forth. God filled them with his Spirit to do a mighty work. And they became great preachers of the word. Undoubtedly so. We think of Pentecost when these men left the prayer meeting and went out and preached the gospel, and many were converted to Christ. They also became great prayer warriors. We think of that same chapter where they're gathered together in the place of prayer. The leadership of the church are there. These men are there seeking the Lord, calling upon his name, and the power of God fell. Peter had a special anointing of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We've alluded to that already. And he also went on to see a great work accomplished among the Gentiles. He was imprisoned for his preaching and for his stand for Christ. In Acts chapter 12, he was imprisoned by Herod, but miraculously escaped. And tradition tells us of his martyrdom when he came to die. Tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down, feeling so unworthy in his own mind and heart to be crucified in the same position as his Lord and Master. And so he requested that he would be crucified in that horrific way. James was also used by God But we don't have a lot of personal details about him in the scriptures. We know that he died the martyr's death when he was beheaded by Herod, and Acts chapter 12 tells us about that. John was the beloved disciple, the one that leaned on the bosom of Christ at the Last Supper. He remained faithful at the cross in the Savior's hour of greatest trial, when it seems that the other disciples had forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ when he was there upon the cross. John was there, watching on, and the Lord spoke to him, you know, concerning his mother Mary. Peter might have been at a distance. He speaks about being a witness of Christ's sufferings in his writing, so maybe he was there somewhere watching on as well. But it seems the other disciples had forsaken. But there's John, faithful John, right until the end. James and John were called sons of thunder by Christ. And that just tells us something about their character, their personality. They were always ready to defend the Master's honor. Disciples who were strong, courageous, and forthright. Now, I'm telling you these things to show you the different types of characters the Lord called to be his disciples, with their varied strengths and weaknesses. Maybe God has been calling you. You have felt in your heart a burden for Christian service, some perhaps to the ministry. And we prayed earnestly about the vacant pulpits in our country. We need ministers of the gospel. There may be others listening in, and you feel constrained to be a missionary, to go and bring the gospel to another country, another people. Or you might be burdened for the work of evangelism, reaching others with the gospel even in your own country, or getting more involved in your local church. We should all be serving God in some way. There is that general call in the Great Commission for all of us to work for Christ and to do something for the Lord in reaching out to others with the gospel. But then there is the special call that we often term a call to full-time service. And that's what's happening here in Mark chapter 1. And I trust and pray that God will speak to you today, and in the will of God, next Lord's Day, when we come back to this subject. So we're thinking about the call of God to service. And the first thing I want you to notice is the sovereignty of the call. And it's there very simply in the words, Jesus said. You note it there in verse 17. Jesus said. The words of this special and blessed call fall from the lips of the eternal Son of God, the Redeemer of men, the friend of sinners, the beloved of his dear people, the Christ, the chosen, anointed Messiah, who came from the heights of glory to the manger of Bethlehem in the incarnation to dwell in mortal flesh for a season, the second person of the glorious Trinity, who coexisted in co-equal deity with the Father and the Spirit from all eternity. It is he who stands on the shore and he speaks to these fishermen and he's calling them, come after me. There is not a higher power. There is not a greater authority. There is not a grander administration than the one which emanates from the King of Kings, the one who is the sole head of his church, the great I Am. Jesus said unto them. My friends, if you discern the call of God in your heart and your soul, if God is dealing with you in grace, if he's placing a burden on your heart for the lost souls of men who are destined to the everlasting fires of the damned, I want you to know that this call is stamped with sovereignty, authority, and majesty. For it is Christ who is speaking. It is his church. It is his kingdom. It is his body that he is building. And so building by ordaining men to go into the world as his ambassadors. Can you hear that call today? Do you hear the Savior speak? Is your heart stirred? Is your soul burdened? Is your innermost being moved with a passion for the souls of men? It is the voice of our beloved. It is Jesus who is speaking. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. I wonder, are you saying in your heart, as we listened to the hymn earlier, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. It is the beloved Savior, the altogether lovely one, who is knocking on your door just now, and he's calling. If I can borrow the words, the beautiful words of the Song of Solomon, the Lord is calling. And what is he saying? He's saying, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He's saying, come away into my service. Follow me as your Lord and Master. Bring many sons to glory through your witnessing and your preaching. I pray that you will hear the voice of Christ today as really and truly as these men heard that voice on the shores of Galilee. The sovereignty of the call. And then there is what I believe the suddenness of the call. I want you to note the little phrase in verse 16. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee. And I see in that little phrase something has happened unexpectedly. Something has happened suddenly. These men were going about their daily business. Two of them were casting their nets into the sea, and the other two were mending their nets on the shore. And the Lord just appears there, and he calls them to the work of the gospel. And you might be going about your daily business, engrossed in the legitimate employments of this life, busy in your livelihood, without any real thought of serving Christ in a full-time capacity. In fact, it may be the last thing in your mind that Christ is drawing near and that he is calling you, but it can happen just as suddenly as it did here with these men. Because often God works suddenly and unexpectedly. You are listening today to this message right now where you are at home, and you sense a strange warming in your soul towards the things of God and the service of Christ. And God is coming very near, and he's calling you into his work. That, for some, is how suddenly it's happening. You could be at work. You could be walking. You could be sitting at home. You could be meditating on the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus will come walking by, and he will suddenly call you into his work. I pray that that will happen today and in the incoming week. And then I want you to notice the situation of the call. And what is the situation as they were at work? You'll mark what it says in verse 16. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew's brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Look also at verse 19. When he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. You've got to notice that, well, what they were doing when Jesus called them. They were engaged in their daily employment. They were working hard. I know that they were working hard because of the particular job that they had. They proved themselves in the ordinary things of life first. And often that's very important, that you prove just what you're doing in your daily employment before you would even feel like serving the Lord. When God called Amos to be his servant, Amos said, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herd man and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He was a farmer. Well, the Lord took him, and the Lord made him into a great prophet of God. The call of God can come to a man not only in the house of God, not only in the secret place, but even in the middle of a day's work. Now, very often the call of God comes when you're sitting in church. The Word of God is preached and God has a message for you, and you sense and feel in your heart that this message is for you and God calls you. More than often it is when you're sitting at home and you're meditating on the Scriptures and you're praying about the matter and God calls you. But God can call you anywhere, at any time. And for these men, they were at work. They were busy in their employment whenever the Lord sent this call to them. Now, I'm sure their employment would be a great benefit to the higher calling that Christ was now giving to them. The good qualities of a successful fisherman would help in the daily ministry of winning souls to Christ. Courage, patience, energy, stamina, faith, tenacity, the ability to work together. Well, that's so important. I labored in Port of Ogie, as you know, many of you know, for 7 years, and I got to see something of fishing life, and certainly those that went to sea and were on the boat together, it was crucial. It was important for their safety. It was important for their employment. It was important for their success to work together. And so this would have been a great quality. Courage, patience, energy, stamina, faith, tenacity, the ability to work together. One of our Bible commentators said, professional fishermen simply could not afford to be quitters or complainers. Well, the work of God is not easy. It's not for a novice. It's not for a lazy person. It's not for a quitter. It involves hard work, and God calls us to be laborers. As someone once said, laborers, not loafers. Workers, not whingers. And then I have one other thought just to leave with you today, and that is the status of the call. These men were ordinary men. I want you to see that again. Just fishermen, you might say. These were common men. They had no theological credentials. They had no status in this world. They were not trained in the theological seminaries of the Jews, nor did they emanate from the wealthy aristocracy of society, nor did they come from the high ranks of the political or the business world. They were just fishermen. Jesus chose these disciples not because of who they were, but because of what Christ could do through them. For ye see your calling, brethren, said Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1:26. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And you'll see that three times over we have this statement, this phrase, not many. Now, he doesn't say not any. For the man that wrote these words by divine inspiration was a mighty man. He was schooled in the best training colleges. He sat at the feet of the eminent Gamaliel. He became one of the greatest theologians that this world has ever seen, one of the greatest scholars and instruments in the divine hand, and I refer to the great Apostle Paul. And God has had his mighty men through the centuries of church history. However, more than often, it is the ordinary, common, rank and file of society that God is pleased to call. God hath chosen, Paul went on to say in that first chapter of 1 Corinthians, in verses 27, 28, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not. And here's the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You might be an ordinary guy, a 5'8", as they would say. You may not have great education, or intellect, or abilities, or status in society. But God can use you, and he can use you mightily. No one ever believed in ordinary people as Jesus did. and he's calling them here. Once George Bernard Shaw said, "I have never had any feeling for the working classes except a desire to abolish them and replace them by sensible people." Not an awful thing for anyone to say. I rather like the statement of President Lincoln, who said, "God must love the common people. He made so many of them." And you know, my friends, it was as if Jesus was saying, "Give me 12 ordinary men, and with them, if they will give themselves to me, I will change the world." And God took men like the men that we've read about here, these four and others, just ordinary people, and they did shape the world. And God can choose you today, weak and foolish in yourself, but mighty in the hands of the potter. If you just give your life to him, if you sense and feel that call of God in your life today, as the Lord bids you come to him for Christian service, give your life over to the Lord. You say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me, use me, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to do what you're calling me to do. I'm just an ordinary person with all my weaknesses, with all my faults, with all my inability. But I hand myself over to the Lord today. Use me, Lord, for your honor and for your glory." And he will. The call of God to service. May you begin to sense it right now as you've listened to God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word under these difficult circumstances that we've met in today, not only because of lockdown, but even the technical difficulties that we've had to face. Thank you for giving help to our brethren who have come in to do this work and this ministry. Thank you for those that were able to join us and have lingered on to be part of this service. The word of God has gone forth. You promised that it will not return to thee void. And so therefore may it accomplish much for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. And the will of God, we'll come back to it next Lord's Day. But thank you for joining us here at Hebron. May the Lord bless you. Our sisters will play just as the service now comes to a conclusion.